Because of listeners like you, Preborn has helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives. Please join us in this mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It is Friday, September 19th, and just a few days from now on Sunday will be the memorial of Charlie Kirk. We're already a little over a week since his absolutely heinous, brutal assassination, and I've been talking about this all week. And, you know, for listeners, I so appreciate everyone who has written in and expressed your feelings, your thoughts in this moment, rededication to the things of the Lord, and truly meeting this moment with the truth of the Lord, which is 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us that we are living to please God. And then goes on, starting in verse 13, talking about believers who have died, because the Apostle Paul does not, he says, brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the truth. This is the hope that we have. And I have been grieving. I've been angry. I've been resolved. I've been a whole range of everything over this last week. And some of you may be thinking, you know, we're using yet another radio program to talk about this. And yeah, we are, because this is a moment that I think touches and concerns so many different levels and aspects of the truth of God's word. And we've covered everything since Charlie died, from who Charlie was as a person, to his faith, to his testimony, to political violence, to where we go as a country, to what Christians need to think about life and death and truth. I mean, all of these things, this is what it's all about. I mean, this is, we should be doing this not just the week after Charlie died, but until Jesus returns or calls us home. We need to encourage one another with these words. And so we're going to continue to do that, and obviously talk about the news of the day and how Christians engage in that, not shrinking from politics. It's even more important to engage in our communities now. But I have been personally so encouraged by friends of mine, and many of them who knew Charlie personally as well, especially those who knew Charlie as well. And in listening to Frank Turek, who does crossexamined.org and also is routinely on American Family Radio here as well, I know him as well. He was in the tent with Charlie when this murder happened, and he put out a podcast episode. I think it was Tuesday night, early Wednesday of this week. And I watched it, and just the thing that, besides his personal grief and sharing that, and I mean, all of this has helped me process my own grief. He talked about how he first met Charlie, and Charlie reached out to him in 2020 saying, I've listened to your videos, and I want to connect with you because I want to know even better, and of course I'm paraphrasing, but I want to know even better how to teach Christ even more clearly. And I'd love to connect with you. And, you know, here's my cell phone number. And what struck me was this is 2020. I mean, this is a guy at, you know, then under 30 years of age, probably about 27, if my math, or, you know, 26, 27, who is already running the largest student organization in the country, is already friends with the current sitting president of the United States, who has, you know, been at the inauguration, probably at that point had already been on, you know, Air Force One, had already, you know, has a podcast that's one of the number one in the country. I mean, all of these things. And he's still looking to mentorship and saying, help me be better, help me know how to live and preach Christ better. And I love that. I mean, what an incredible example for us to always want to teach Christ better. And one of the dearest friends that helps me teach Christ better is Pastor Jack Hibbs, who is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And I'm so, so, so grateful that he is joining us right now. And Pastor Jack, thank you as well for taking the time to help me process through my grief and my questions, and always over the years that we've known each other, helped me hopefully teach the truth of Christ better. And I'm just so thankful for your friendship and for the message that you preached on Sunday as well. I listened to that. I loved it. Thank you for your truly pastoral care to so many of us.
Well, Jenna, first of all, thank you. And thank you for being the friend that you have been to me. And, you know, these kinds of things, these kinds of relationships, they're great to have. But when times of crisis come into the Christian life, isn't it just a sweet grace of God that we can talk and we can look at Scripture and ponder the world that is before us through the lens of the Word of God and the truth of God? And that's the only way that we can get real, true, lasting peace and answers to the insanity that's in our world. And so I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for your program. And yeah, we're together. We are grateful for Charlie, for sure.
Absolutely. And I know that, you know, this has been, as we've been talking, you know, you have focused in this last, you know, over a week on being a pastor instead of even attending to your own personal grief over the loss of your friend. And that's incredible. And what can you best tell us, or maybe what is has been the number one question that Christians have asked in this moment? Because, you know, we know, I think, intellectually, the problem of evil, you know, the truth of the gospel. When things like this happen, it hits on such a profound emotional level that sometimes facts don't care about our feelings, but we feel our feelings. And so what has been kind of the number one response that you have been compelled to share about truth in the last week?
My response, actually, Jenna, has been one that required me to respond to what honestly surprised me in the Christian community. And it's this, Pastor Jack, how could this have happened? Why did this happen? You know, he was taken, you know, at the hands of this assassin. And I understand their questioning, but what was missing was the understanding of our biblical foundation, meaning that Charlie was a fellow brother and sister in Christ, which means we know from Scripture, from the book of Job, for example, we learn that nothing can come to us but that which is first filtered through the will of the Father. We are his children. This was not an accident. This was, in God's wisdom, the day. Think about it, Jenna. The Bible tells us that all of our days are numbered by the Lord, and that day of our departure from this world is known only to God. And so Charlie could have died by a car accident. He could have died slipping on a banana peel. He could have died with a heart attack. But his day to enter eternity was September 10th. And here's what's beautiful about this. It's not that God looked to the left out into the universe somewhere and then evil happened to Charlie. No, this was the day that Charlie was to meet Jesus by whatever means. And here to me is the glorious part. Charlie's passion was to do exactly what he was doing the moment he passed into eternity. He loved what he was doing. He was faithful. He, as Paul wrote in Timothy, he was faithful. He kept the faith. He finished the course. And there's no other way that Charlie would have picked any other way to leave this world. You think about that for a moment. People, I responded to them by saying, seeing how that we all must die, how would you rather have had Charlie die? And regarding your life, how would you like to pick or choose how you would die when your day is up? And that kind of, you could see the light come on where, yeah, that's right. I guess we are going to die. So I best live my life in such a way that when he comes for me, I'm busy about my father's business. Charlie passed into his presence being busy about his father's business. It's actually a beautiful, as the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. And this was not an accident, folks. This was God's day that Charlie had an appointment with his creator, and it would have happened by some other means, if not by this means.
And that is so settling and encouraging to know that God is not surprised by evil, and that only what he allows for his own sovereign purposes. And as you're speaking, I was reminded of Luke 22, when Judas agrees to betray Jesus. And in verse 3, when it says, "And then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12, Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present." And this was foreordained, that Jesus, the perfect man, would be the sacrifice so that we might live eternally with the Lord. And this was through the means of someone who consented to do evil, but God used it for the ultimate blessing for all human beings for all eternity. And I'm struck that this is, not at all, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, listeners. I'm not comparing Charlie Kirk to Jesus, but what I am saying is that God knew before the foundation of the world that the sacrifice of Jesus would be necessary, and he allows for those who will to do evil to consent to evil that he then uses for the ultimate good.
Oh, in fact, the scripture says in the Old Testament, I'm quoting from memory now, so I may botch up the address of it, but I think it's Psalm 93 or Psalm 97, Jenna, where it says that the Lord will take the wrath of man to praise his own name. It's a reference to the day of judgment, that in the end, there will be justice in the end, and even the wicked, before the day of judgment, will somehow, by their evil activity, God will somehow make out of it good, even if it is the judgment of the condemned. But I like to look at it this way. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men." The word "men" in Greek is generic. All mankind, believer and unbeliever. "Let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father which is in heaven." A lot of people, Jenna, misunderstand that verse. They think that if Jack and Jenna do things really God-honoring today, that the unbelieving, godless world is going to applaud you and I as we drive down the street. No. It's a reference to the day of judgment, that even the wicked will have to say, "Wow, Jenna did try to tell me the truth. She spoke truth. I wouldn't listen." And Jesus is that truth. And so we've got to remember that no matter what, we've got to live not for the opinions of man and how, you know, what's trending or how many likes you can get. Charlie didn't care, by the way, of any of that stuff. Charlie had some of the biggest numbers, but he never asked for any numbers. He spoke truth without apology because he knew who his Lord is, and he knew what he was supposed to do, and he obeyed. And that kind of truth-telling and truth-living is going to cause the wicked to be angry. It causes them to grind their teeth, to do what you're seeing right now on social media. They're on college campuses. These debased people are reenacting Charlie's death, and people are laughing. And why? How could this happen? Because it's not Charlie. It's the truth that Charlie announced. And people want to talk about love and hate. Well, love tells you the truth, and hate cannot stand the truth. And so Jenna, me, Charlie, those of us who associate with Jesus are not surprised, because Jesus said, they hated me before they'll ever hate you. And so everything about Charlie's life right now is being lived out, and we're kind of vicariously living our Christian witness out through him right now. Because all that's being said, all that's being done, the good, the bad, and the ugly, is indicative of what should happen, Jenna, with you and I in some way, shape, or form. The world should either hate us or love us, but we should never dwell as Christians in the gray zone. Our faith needs to be known. People need to know that we love God first, and because we love God, we love other people enough to tell them, please come out and know the forgiveness and the grace that comes through Jesus Christ. You don't have to live like this anymore. And for that, Charlie is being hated. And, you know, you can tell a lot about a person by who their enemies are.
Yeah, absolutely. And this this just encourages us to not be lukewarm Christians, as, you know, Revelation talks about, then the spiritual state of the church in Laodicea that was characterized and described as self-sufficiency and a lack of true passion for God. And that led to a spiritually useless and stagnant condition that God rejects. We need to be either hot or cold. If you reject the Lord, then at least you're honest about it. I mean, and Charlie even said that in a couple of his clothes. He's like, well, okay, at least you're an honest atheist. You know, someone who, when he said, right, you know, is there an objective good versus evil? And the atheist said, no, it's all subjective. He's like, well, was the Holocaust objectively wrong? And he said, no, I think it's subjective because society's collectively said that. And he goes, okay. And then everyone's booing. He said, well, no, I appreciate that you're honest, because an honest atheist, someone who has rejected God, can't acknowledge objective truth. But the Christian, or the one who acknowledges God and says, I believe in God, but doesn't live rightly, does not embrace the truth, isn't hungry for the truth like Charlie was, and like I know that you are, Pastor Jack, like I am, then that is the type of person that God says, I will spit you out of my mouth because you are lukewarm. And this is a moment that we need to not just have a passion for the Lord and be, you know, hot versus cold, but take that knowledge and live in that truth. And we have to take a break here, but we're going to come back because I have a couple of follow-up questions for you. And we're talking with Pastor Jack Hibbs, the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. If you missed his message on Sunday, I'd encourage you to go listen to that. Follow him on social media. If you think you've been encouraged by Charlie, you're going to be encouraged by Pastor Jack and everything that he puts out. He's at Real Jack Hibbs. We'll be right back with more.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, and we're talking with Pastor Jack Hibbs, the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Follow him on all social media at Real Jack Hibbs. Listen to the truth that he speaks every day, every week, and we're talking about being a true and faithful Christian. And, you know, part of also what you said in the last segment, Pastor Jack, was that God numbers our days. God knows before the foundation of the world who will accept him and who will reject him. But we are given that free choice. And so for those who are listening, you haven't made that decision and you are still living, you still have time to repent and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And for those of us who have and are born again and are saved, we have to live in the truth that even though in my humanity, Pastor Jack, I would have absolutely 100% said, I wish that this did not happen to Charlie. It would have been better if he were still here. I could see so much more that he would have done in the next, you know, 30, 40 years of his life. I don't understand it. But this is why we pray, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. What does that actually mean for the Christian?
Yes, actually, an absolute necessity that we submit to the sovereignty of God. And when I say sovereignty, I don't mean in any way other than the nature of God. Remember, Jenna, he said, God is love. In his sovereignty, in his infinite wisdom, time will tell, eternity will announce that Charlie Kirk died doing the exact right thing at the exact right time. And may that be said of us. And so we want to live our lives accordingly. And so this God that is all glorious and the very one who's given us the Bible, who announces to us, I love you. I want your sins forgiven. That's why I went to the cross. And I didn't cause all this death and mayhem. I think it was CNN or Fox News asked me, you and Charlie claim to believe in a God that is a loving God. How could this have happened? And my immediate response was, well, first of all, how can we allow this stuff to happen? Before we criticize God wrongly, we need to criticize ourselves rightly. And that is, why do we tolerate this stuff? Well, because we are sold under sin. And we will do sinful conduct. And so that's why Christ came, to set us free from ourselves. And the evidence, Jen, is being played out all around the world right now. Notice how many cop cars were burned up. How many cities are on fire right now in the post-Charlie Kirk assassination? None. Why? Because there's a sense of God's control, even though we don't exactly understand. Romans 8:28 is still in your Bible. All things work together for good to those who are called according to his purposes. God knows what he's doing, and we do, I tell you, we do ourselves a lot of good if we submit and obey him rather than our emotions and the narrative of the world that could easily mislead us.
Yeah, and this is why it is so important in these moments that remind us what we should have been reminded of every moment, that we have to be built upon the truth of the Word of God, because I can't imagine right now going through this national, worldwide actually, and personal grief without knowing the truth. I cannot imagine losing a loved one or seeing evil in the world and thinking, well, there's nothing I can do about it. There's no God. It just, you know, things are evil because we all feel the hurt of it, and having no real answers. And this is why it's so important, not just for my own understanding of how to reconcile all of this with truth, but to then give others hope and answers and reconciliation. I've had so many people reach out to me too, who, you know, knew that I knew Charlie, and hopefully, you know, I'm able to provide that encouragement because I knew before this happened the truth and was able to recall in these times, as the Bible says, you know, when the Word of God is written in your heart, you will recall it in times that you need it. The Holy Spirit will give you the words of truth. And I just can't imagine the hopelessness for people who say, well, evil makes me believe that there is no God. Evil should show us the necessity of the fact that there is a God who loves us.
I love it. I've got a smile on my face right now, Jenna, because you spoke pure truth. Think, when someone says, I can't believe in God because there is evil, the question then is, how do you know there's evil? By what standard are you making your comment based on? What do you mean? You can't believe in God because there's evil. Well, a bird flying through the sky is not evil. The blue sky, the snow-capped mountains, what's evil about that? Oh, no, that's not evil. That's good. Well, then if evil cannot exist without good, that's how we know what's evil. Of course, Charlie was a great one to argue this as C.S. Lewis, but people are blaming the wrong one. We should be blaming not only lost humanity, and of course, Satan, who Jesus said has come to rob and to kill and destroy, but I've come to give you everlasting life. I pray that people will begin to wake up and think things through via critical thinking. That, hey, wow, that was horrible what happened. Well, God answers this in the Bible. And Jen, I'm just, you know, we're connected at the heart on this because you had hope even before the news broke of Charlie. Why did you have hope? You had hope existing in your tank. You had hope existing in your soul because Jenna Ellis knows the Word of God and her life is based on the foundation of God's truth. Your knowledge of God's eternal truth preempted the call or the news that Charlie was assassinated, as it did me. In the midst of every situation where we have a child that dies, or a spouse has cancer, God's truth for the believer always mitigates and frames properly what looks like evil in our world or hurt in our world. He anticipates that. That's why Jesus said, I have given you joy that the world cannot take away. And, I mean, you can't buy that. You can just acquire that through Jesus the person, Jesus the God, our Savior. And for those of you who are listening right now, if you don't know that, then you don't know that. But to those of you who do know it, you're nodding your head right now saying, yeah, that's true. And for those of you who don't know, why not? Why are you not a believer and a follower of Jesus? What has he ever done or said to you that has hurt you or offended you? Whatever has offended and hurt you, friend, has come from the evil side. But don't let that drive you away from the love of your eternal life. Let that drive you to the love of your eternal life.
Amen and amen. And, you know, it is so different for the born-again believer to have that true hope and true joy. And yet the world calls, you know, religion as if that's all that this is just a guidebook that, you know, we think is helping us live a bit more morally, or, you know, this is, you know, like we're being a good Eagle Scout on the path of life or something, rather than a relationship with our Creator, the author of all things, the person of truth who holds our life and our eternity in his hands. And this is not just a crutch. It's not just, you know, well, this is a great copium that you must be of weaker mind because you believe in religion and this guy called Jesus, and you need that in order to cope. No, I need it because I want the truth. I want to understand the things around me, and I want to know the truth, and I want to be able to live in that. And when truth changes us, and I love when I can go deeper, and when, you know, things and new mysteries are unlocked, and I think, wow, I wish I'd known that for the rest of my life. And this is why, you know, you have a hunger for the knowledge of the Lord, because when I love someone, I want to be closer to them. I want to know more about them. And that's, I want to know more about my Savior in that relationship. And so for people who think, you know, this is just copium and you have this sort of false sense of joy, no, it's totally different than that. And it is a completely different life. And so I truly don't understand how anyone could look at the events over the last week and a half, from not just Charlie's murder, but the anniversary of 9/11, the stabbing of that innocent girl on public transportation, of the school shootings in Colorado and Minneapolis. I mean, just in the span of a week. I mean, that much evil in just the span of the week, and not cry out for something that is, as C.S. Lewis put it, the best explanation for the reality to which we're presented.
So well said. I mean, I cannot say anything to that other than agree. And if someone doesn't pursue now, find hope, get a Bible, start reading in John's Gospel, and start getting answers for these days, you're going to go crazy. I mean, this world will drive you insane. And I'm not exaggerating. I think that is what Romans chapter 1 is all about. When man refuses God, man will create something to believe in. In Romans 1, Paul the Apostle warns us that the heart that thinks that way or the mind that thinks that way becomes debased, becomes a reprobate mind. And where there is no God restraining the conscience of a man, because that man has given up on the existence of God, then that man will do whatever he pleases. And we're seeing a world right now that Paul wrote in 2 Timothy. He's telling us that in the last days before Christ returns, men will be lovers of themselves, murderers, backbiters, evil, plotting schemes, haters of God, haters of their parents, haters of one another. And you say, well, that's pretty cruel. I agree. This is what happens when a culture tells its young, there is no God. You are an evolutionary byproduct, so whoever dies with the most toys wins. And then, you know, Jenna, our culture gets upset when they act like animals, when we've told them that's what they are. We want them to be angelic, but not give them the God that can make them moral or pure or healthy. It's really, I hope people wake up to the extreme contradiction that we are fighting in an invisible realm that's being played out in the physical world. It is the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of darkness, and you're going to have to make a choice. You have to choose who today you're going to serve.
Absolutely. And we should not be surprised when, yeah, as mind-boggling as it is, when some people like Judas, like this alleged killer, and on, you know, maybe not to the extreme of cold-blooded murder, but when people choose evil instead of the things of Christ because of Romans 1, that eventually God will turn them over to their depravity. And is there a concern, even in the midst of this revival that's going on right now, that America, by and large, we're past that in Romans 1? Because I remember from back in 2015, 2016, first time I met Pastor John MacArthur, he was teaching on Romans 1 and saying, we are seeing this played out in America right now, and eventually God will turn us over to our depravity. And when we're seeing the open embrace of transgenderism, homosexuality, just total evil, the celebration of cold-blooded murder this last week, has God turned us over as a nation, or do we still have hope?
Number one, all somebody has to do is look around right now at the fact that America now is one of the most dangerous places to be in the industrialized world, if not the most dangerous place. You see what's going on in Chicago and other cities. I had a friend, Jenna, tell me yesterday, he said, I never thought in my life that I would tell you, Jack, that I'm safer here in Dubai than I would be if I was visiting in America. That's a sad thing. That's sad. Whenever we turn to God, there's hope. Jenna, I have faith in God. I don't have faith in America as one that at this time wants to be a nation led by the Lord. And why do I say that? It sounds kind of fatalistic. It's not fatalistic at all. Nationally, God judges nations, but you and I don't have to be under the wrath of God because we are his children. And think of Daniel. Israel experienced the wrath of God's judgment and sent Israel into captivity, but in the midst of it, there were personal revivals in the life of Daniel and others. That said, I believe that we are in the latter end of Romans chapter 1. If John MacArthur said it back then, I believe that. And I believe that we're further down the trail Is it possible that God has lifted his hand of grace over America as a nation? Quite possibly. I think the indicators are there. But is there hope for you personally, friend, to get right with God? Absolutely, because you're still breathing. There's hope. I pray that the believer, remember, he says, if my people who are called by my name, that is, if we turn back to him, he might heal our land. I don't know. But the main thing is now, is you need to relate to God personally. He's personal. He's a personal Savior. And if he has now put America in his sights for judgment, as is justifiable, it doesn't have to be true for you personally. You can find forgiveness, you can find healing, and you can find a brand new life that God has always wanted for you to have in the first place, no matter how our nation goes. And please consider Jesus like you never have before.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Jack, for such a clear presentation of the truth of the gospel and for calling us heavenward. And I know personally that Charlie loved you, appreciated you, was thankful for you. I love you, appreciate you, and am thankful for you. And I know so many of our listeners, all of our listeners are too. And so thank you for always proclaiming truth. And we will be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning. I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. Sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabriel, is thriving because preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible. But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 babies by the end of the year. And they can't do that without us. Every $28 provides that ultrasound, the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabriel fulfills his destiny. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. And as we're talking about the importance of teaching truth and being that clarion call for the truth of the gospel of Christ, we have to, in tandem with speaking truth, call out the counterfeiters of truth, the people who are not lukewarm, that aren't apathetic, they're not cold to the gospel, they're not saying that they're atheists, but they are not speaking truth. They are pretending to, they're calling themselves pastors and teachers and Christians, but they are actually preaching a false gospel and teaching false notions. And one of the worst examples of this, this past week in context, is a pastor that social media has identified as Freddie Haynes, who apparently is Representative Jasmine Crockett's pastor in Texas, which now that maybe explains her worldview a little bit. But you can see this pastor in this full clip that we're just going to play a little bit of it. He implies that Charlie Kirk was a fake Christian. And when he says, when he calls Charlie a Christian, and you'll hear that kind of intonation, he's using air quotes. So he's saying that Charlie can't possibly be a Christian, denies he was assassinated, and invokes race as if that's the most important point that we need to focus on. So listen to this initially.
Have you thought about the fact that this week in Utah, a white Christian got killed by a white Christian? And then the next day, HBCUs were under threat. Now, how'd we get in it?
And And then Haynes goes on to forcefully deny that Charlie Kirk was assassinated, because apparently you can only be assassinated if you were a black activist. And listen to what he has to say.
A white Christian gets killed, murdered, not assassinated. We're going to tell the whole truth today. Martin King got assassinated. Malcolm X got assassinated. Medgar X got assassinated. Don't compare Kirk to King. Ain't no such comparison. Now, let me hasten to say, I'm anti-political violence. Kirk should still be alive. I don't agree with the time with anything Kirk said. What Kirk said was dangerous. What Kirk said was racist, rooted in white supremacy, nasty, and hate-filled. But he still should be alive.
That is a total false lie from the pit of hell. Let's welcome in Daryl Harrison, who is the shepherding and teaching pastor at Redeemer Bible Church in Arizona. And Daryl, this is a false pastor. It is a false teacher who is suggesting, according to his own words, that race is the only factor here, that Charlie wasn't a Christian, that anything he said was rooted in white supremacy. I mean, all of these things that are an utterly false lie. Why is it that some are choosing to promote the lie of racism above the truth of the gospel of Christ?
Hey, Jenna, first of all, great to be with you. I think to begin to answer your question, I need to go back a few decades to the 1970s, in fact, and a book that was written by James Hal Cone. James Cone is known by many of his followers and supporters as the father of black liberation theology. And in a book he published in 1970 titled A Black Theology of Liberation, James Cone said this, and I think this is important for your listeners to hear to set the context of the conversation you and I are going to have over the next few minutes. But Dr. Cone said this. He said, quoting, "It is my contention that essentially Christianity is a religion of liberation. The function of theology is that of analyzing the meaning of that liberation for the oppressed community so they can know that their struggle for political, social, and economic justice is consistent with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Any message that is not related to the liberation of the poor in the society is not Christ's message. Any theology that is indifferent to the theme of liberation is not Christian theology," unquote. That was James Hal Cone from his book, A Black Theology of Liberation. Now, why is that important? That is important contextually to establish that a philosophy, an ideology that was birthed almost 60 years ago is still present within many urban black churches, such as what we just heard from Freddie Haynes. And I think, Jenna, also, your listeners may have overlooked this, but in your introductory comments, you said something very profound. You said, in sort of setting us up for those clips that you played by Freddie Haynes, you mentioned the word counterfeiters, but you also said that they're not going to come out and tell you that they're atheists. They're not going to come out and say that they're agnostics. These are people who are already embedded within the church, and many of them hold the title of pastor, such as Freddie Haynes has. So what's important is to understand this, is a couple things. Number one, not every person who holds an ecclesiastical office title is fulfilling that office biblically. That's number one. This is clear from Freddie Haynes. You look at the divisive, presumptive, just flat-out ignorant language that he's using in creating a narrative around Charlie Kirk. And what I found, Jenna, personally, in my own, walking through the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and Freddie Haynes won't call it an assassination, I will, in the few days since Charlie Kirk was assassinated, what I'm finding is that almost all of his critics are demeaning him, disparaging him, without ever having read him, without ever having listened to him, without ever having put in the time and effort to study what his worldview was, what his approach to apologetics was. But they come out opportunistically here, and even within the so-called houses of worship of these predominantly black churches, they basically want to ridicule him in such a way as Freddie Haynes did in this case, calling him a quote-unquote fake Christian. That tells me that at least at that one church where Freddie Haynes is pastor, they have no idea what the gospel is. They have no idea of how God saves a person. They have no idea that there is no such thing as a fake Christian. You are either a truly regenerate believer or you're not. And I just listen to those clips. There's a lot of eisegesis going on there. There's a lot of false narratives being input into his, I don't even know if I want to call that a sermon, but into his diatribe about Charlie Kirk that, as you said already, Jenna, is just not true. But as you heard, he riled his audience up, and that's what you get in predominantly black churches today. A lot of homiletics, a lot of histrionics, a lot of animation going on, but very little gospel truth. And we didn't hear any of that in those clips that you played.
And you didn't hear any of it in the entire message. And listeners are welcome to go. I mean, we didn't just cherry pick those to point out and ignore, you know, anything else that he said. But you're absolutely right, Daryl Harrison, that these counterfeiters must be called out, because in this moment where the world and our nation and so many young people are seeking truth and they're going to pastors, we have to be incredibly careful who we listen to and who we believe is speaking truth. And this is why it's so important that we go first and foremost to the Word of God as our primary source, that we read the Bible for ourselves, that we get to know the person of truth through His Word, and then we have discernment to listen to the pastors and teachers who are preaching the truth and expositing the Word of God in a right way, not in in a counterfeit manner that is uplifting either, you know, racism or feminism or the LGBTQ movement, like a lot of these other churches. There are so many, unfortunately, across America and across the world, as you so well said. They may have the office, the ecclesiastical office, a church office, but that does not mean that they are truth speakers or that they are fulfilling that calling according to the righteousness of God. And so in just the last couple minutes we have here with you, how can listeners recognize the truth from a counterfeit?
Well, I think you've already alluded to it, Jenna, just a few seconds ago. And I'll just expand on that and say we have to go to the Word of God first. This is the Christian's responsibility. The Christian's responsibility is not to get caught up in emotions, regardless of what side of the Charlie Kirk's worldview you fall on, not to get caught up in emotion, not to be ruled by our feelings of subjectivity, not to be ruled and governed by our own personal ideologies or philosophies as it relates to the worldview that Charlie Kirk held. You have to go to the Word of God. The Word of God is your North Star. That's what I would say to your listeners, Jenna. The Word of God, and only the Word of God, is to be your North Star. You are to look to the Word of God to see how we are to filter these comments and remarks, such as what we've heard from a so-called pastor, Freddie Haynes. Even if it's someone who's within the church, we are to be Bereans. We are to search the Scriptures for ourselves. And it's just undeniable that such a divisive, animistic message could be delivered from a pulpit is incredible.
Yeah, well, it is, and it's infuriating, and there should be righteous anger in response that these counterfeiters are using this moment to teach a false Jesus and a false gospel. And so, Daryl Harrison, I really appreciate you coming on and reminding of us of that. You can follow Daryl Harrison, who is a preacher of the truth, at D_B_Harrison, or just look for him, Daryl Harrison, on X. Follow the Word of Christ first. Do not waste this moment turning back to the Lord. Seek Him first, and then seek others who will lead you on a righteous path. As always, you can reach me and my team, Jenna, at afr.net. Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.